Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. Bunch of fun things to get into this hour, including our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to have some other fun stuff in there. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day that ain't right stories. And of course, it's Monday. That means the kitchen's open in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be hearing from Melissa on the kitchen's open. Looking forward to that. And sometime between now and... You know what? Even playmakers, we're going to extend this. We'll go extra innings here. We'll go into the 11th hour because we are going to give away a pair of River King tickets.
You're just too excited to get the words out.
I was too excited. Yep. We got River King's tickets to give away. It just hasn't gotten old.
No.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying this so darn much.
More people to hockey. Yes.
We're looking forward to having more River Kings hockey on our sister station, Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. Mm-hmm. Every home game this season, River Kings will be back at home in November.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. They were victorious over the weekend. We're going to talk about that and plenty more in Playmakers today. Be sure to join us from 10 to 11. Nobody made his highlight from the sidelines getting the game. Seth will be joining us for that show today.
Awesome.
We got plenty to talk about as far as sports go over the weekend. We'll be ready for you. Just give us a call at 424-2600 and join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. And a big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. So all these things going on, Melissa. I had a busy weekend as well in the area. I heard Science by the River was successful.
Awesome.
It sounded like they had if not more people this year than they did their first year.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
Cool. That is cool.
Any promoting of science feels like a very good thing.
Feels
positive. In the area was certainly just had a bunch of other fun things going on. How was it in your neck of the woods?
Also busy.
Yeah.
We got a lot of house project. Well, house. Homestead. Let's put it that way. Homestead projects done.
Mm-hmm.
As in, fixed a dishwasher and changed the oil in 3 vehicles.
Ooh, nice. Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice to, like, cause the weekends, you know, you do try to relax a little bit. It's the only chance we get. But it's nice. You feel so accomplished when you get stuff done.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you don't feel rested.
No.
But it feels good.
And it was a busy weekend. But, you know, we also did squeak in one nap.
There you go. Nice.
We got a nap in on Saturday because we went out for dinner with some family was visiting in the area. And so, yeah, I had a really nice dinner at a fancy. Well, I should say fancy for the Northwoods, I guess.
Yeah.
But really nice, amazing, awesome food. It's a place called Highview out in the middle of nowhere outside of Medford.
Mm-hmm.
And just awesome, delicious food. The server was really great. You got to love it when you have a great waitress.
Yes, yes, 1,000 times. Can make an average experience so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most of the places that I've ever enjoyed a really good meal are those kind of places that are just hidden. They're just kind of,
And waitresses like that, I think, just great at improv.
Yes.
Like, you know, she's given us our specials and then talking about the soup, and another waitress goes by, there is no soup. And she's like, just kidding. There's no soup. We have no soup. I don't know why I was talking about soup.
The two most successful type of adults that we had at Second City were waitresses and teachers.
Nice.
As far as people who were trying to do
it. Yeah, you got to be quick on your feet.
Yeah, yeah. They're really good at it. Are you the kind of person, Melissa, say you and when I asked you that, how your weekend was, you told me, well, we got a bunch of fun things in or whatever, but during those fun things, you'd have been thinking about the oil changes. Like, so you might as well do the oil changes because you're not going to really be able to enjoy the fun anyway.
Can't focus on the fun.
I'm so like that. I could be out like at Disneyland or Six Flags or something like that, and I'll be on the roller coaster, and everybody's having a good time, and I'm thinking about that oil change that I really meant to get that done,
and I didn't.
That stuff stays with me. It's the same reason why part of why I'll wash the dishes before I go to bed.
Mm.
I don't like waking up to it, but I know I'm going to be laying in bed going,
you know, this is the time of year when the mice come in.
Yep.
I left dirty dishes on the counter. That's going to attract mice. I better. Oh,
exactly.
All right, never mind. I'm up at 2 a.m. doing dishes.
I just haven't heard a whole lot of people that are like that, but we can't be the only ones. No, there's got to be more than that.
Absolutely not.
Out there.
There are more than just us, James.
Whatever you did this weekend, we hope you enjoyed it, had a good one. Thanks a lot for kicking your week off with us here. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd have a couple different places we could start, Melissa, but here we go with this one. Google's Costume Wizard feature is back for Halloween. That's where you dial in how spooky, trendy, and unique you want your costume to be. It's supposed to pick the perfect one based on Google data.
Well, that seems a little lame.
What could go wrong? So flash forward to. It's part of their frightiest feature that tracks the most popular costume ideas nationally and locally. Mm-hmm. And here are the top costumes in the U.S. right now. So far this year, the 10 most searched for costumes overall are a witch. Mm-hmm. A witch is the most popular search for costume. Spider-Man, dinosaur, Stranger Things characters, a fairy, a pirate, a rabbit, a cheerleader, a cowboy, and Harley Quinn.
Hmm. Those seem all very solid Halloween costumes.
And some tried and true ones in there. The five most top trending costumes in the past week are all movies and shows: Daredevil, Princess Diaries, Monster High, The Purge, those kind of things.
Hmm.
The top trending partner costumes are Tiffany and Chucky, Ross and Rachel, Wally and Eva, or Eve, Joe and Love from the Netflix show You, and the characters from Parks and Recs. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The top group costumes we've been Googling are Dominoes, Pac-Man, Super Mario, Crayons, and Ninja Turtles.
Wait, Dominoes? Like the pizza?
I'm guessing the actual Dominoes. And if you get three or four people together all dressed as dominoes, you can do the whole falling thing and stuff.
Okay, that makes more
sense. I wouldn't have thought of it until I just saw it.
Pepperoni pizza?
I like the idea of a group of five guys. They're going to do this.
All right, you're the Coke.
Everybody dresses up as a domino except one guy who dresses up as a pizza. That's what he just doesn't get.
Man.
This isn't funny. That's good. Let me see here. So I wanted to take a look at this costume wizard.
Because one of the things you said about it is unique, right?
Yeah.
Original. But this gives you the results of what everybody is doing across the nation.
Yeah.
It's not very original.
So it goes to Frightgeist, top costumes, costume map, and costume wizard. And that's what I'm clicked on right here.
Okay.
And it asked me style, so I'm going to choose modern. I'm going to choose a modern style. Trend, it's classic or modern for style.
Okay, I was going to say what?
Yeah. Trend meter is national or local.
Okay.
So let's go local. That's what we do around here. Locally based. Let's see here. It does ask me for my... the location.
Okay.
And uniqueness level. Now, I can go from 0 to 100 on that.
Oh.
So I'm going to go ahead and kick this one up way into the 90s.
All right.
Real high.
Seems solid.
And that's it. That's all I got to do. I submit it. And I have gotten Logan from the Wolverine.
Oh.
All right.
Logan.
The character's name, Wolverine's birth name is Logan.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The fact that I know that feels very...
unique, I guess, because you know... I don't know.
Okay, your turn, Melissa.
All right.
So style, classic or modern?
Let's go classic.
Okay. And trend meter?
What were the options again?
National or local?
Let's stay local.
Okay. And your uniqueness level, where would you like that?
Let's go into the... I want to stick with the... Let's do 90.
Yeah, 90.
Right on.
Okay, 90. There we go. All right. And let's see here. We just submit it. And you are Logan. Wait a minute. What is going on? I have to be honest with the audience. I did this with a friend of mine just to test it out and see how it goes and everything. Mm-hmm. And we kept getting Logan. He got Princess somebody from the Disney movie. it wasn't a princess I recognized, but he got one of the princesses. And I just kept getting Logan. He got Logan once.
Okay.
I don't know how helpful this is going to be.
I don't know that it's going to be either, because is Logan a classic character?
No, not at all. Well, I mean, I guess it technically sort of.
Go
but not
back
really.
And change the uniqueness monitor.
Yeah, let's try that.
We stuck with that, so put it down to like 20%.
Yeah, that seems good. Let's go ahead and shoot that down a little bit. So all the same stuff,
yep,
except for that part. Let's see. And Scarlet Witch.
All okay. right. Now I'm a Scarlet different. Witch.
Now you're the Scarlet Witch. Okay.
The Scarlet, like, or just, or, a, or just, or Scarlet just Witch, a Red
or
Witch.
Just Scarlet Witch. Or Wanda, if you prefer. You can go by that, too. Very, okay. very popular character. Very, and a very cool character, too. Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
So, again, Costume Wizard is just, it's a part of Google, so you can just go to Google and find it pretty easily there. But, yeah, if you're, especially if you're struggling, maybe this will give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one for every person that has been planning their costumes since, like, July. There's people
been working on it.
Oh, what do I be? What do I be? Or they just got invited to something, mm-hmm. you know? I know for me, this isn't the case, in recent years, really. But I always seem to end up, like, I have a friend who always ended up running into a girl or meeting somebody he liked like a week, maybe a month if he was lucky, before Valentine's Day. It happened to him 5 times.
Oh, boy.
For me, we used to always be around Halloween. We used to always be around Halloween. Never seemed to fail. So then I would get invited to a Halloween party or something like that. And I had no idea.
And then
what
you have to come up with a costume.
I don't know what to be. Any of that. There are plenty of that out there. This could maybe get the ball spinning. Maybe it's not going to give you an idea, but maybe give you the creative juices flowing
ideas. Or even just Googling costumes is fun too.
Is there, because I don't know how to help people with that. That was one of the things that I thought of going into this conversation. I'm like, maybe we could help people figuring out a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I don't know how to do it for myself, let alone other people.
Well, I don't really know how to do it for other people either, because I look at my wardrobe.
Yeah.
But I also have a lot of costume pieces in my wardrobe from being in shows. Mm-hmm. So, when I was in dance. And so I have some costume things. I don't know.
I got another one for you, too. I may be handing out candy for my folks this year at their house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal to them that candy gets handed out.
Okay.
They refuse to be the house that doesn't hand out candy. So somebody's got to be there to do it and everything.
Right,
and I told them I might be able to do it, or we'll figure it out. But does the person handing out candy, should they be dressed up?
I don't think it's a requirement, but I think it's fun.
I liked it when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I always felt more comfortable going to the houses that
had somebody participating.
Yeah. I don't think it was a huge deal. It wasn't going to stop me from getting candy. I'll tell you that.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I can't give you from that perspective because I didn't do that as a kid.
Mm. I wonder. I wonder if it matters if you quizzed kids and you could actually get them to focus for 5-10 seconds to answer the question.
Okay, how elementary? Would you please put out this survey for us?
I'd love to be able to say there. I was going to give like a grade, but I can't think of a grade where it's safe to necessarily survey kids. I don't know, seniors in high school maybe, but still. I mean, there's still seniors in high school.
Well, I think it's safe to ask. Third, fourth, fifth graders, if they're, what they would prefer. I think that they'd give you an answer.
And most of them love to give that answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the question is. If an adult's asking a question, especially outside of school, they tend to really want to answer.
Yeah.
We will take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:20 on the clock. Your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Hello, hello.
We hope you're having a good day out there. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this October 17th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It is National Black Poetry Day.
Ah.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just make sure I'm getting this right here. Black Poetry Day encourages participants to set aside time to read, enjoy, and appreciate the lyrical, powerful, and poignant words of black poets. On October 17th in 1761, Jupiter Hammond, poet, writer, and preacher, became the first black published author in the United States, paving the way for many other black authors and poets to share their gifts with the world. More than 250 years later, we celebrate this day.
Nice.
I immediately think of Maya Angelou.
Yes.
Langston Hughes is maybe my favorite poet, so I think of him certainly right away as well. But there's just so many wonderful African-American poets.
Mm-hmm.
A great day to, you know, celebrate them, reread some of their work.
Yeah. Or listen to their work. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's kind of always my go-to.
Yeah. There's a band called Buckshot LaFounge, or LaFouge. I always pronounce it wrong. But they have a song called I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings. Mm. And it's from, it actually features Bradford and Wynton Marsalis on it. And Maya Angelou reading her poem to a jazz song.
Nice.
It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. It's awesome. National Playing Card Collection Day.
Mm.
Still huge. Still yes. huge. Card collecting is still huge.
It is.
National Playing celebrates a collection of one of the oldest forms of portable art, circa the 1200s.
Mm-hmm.
Playing cards are literally galleries of art and inspiration, showing and communicating the intentions of an artist to the public while also achieving the cultural values of their time. Collecting these art pieces allows us to be curators of our own galleries and to display representing different checkpoints in time. Interesting.
Did you ever have any cards you collected as a kid?
Just like sports cards.
Yeah.
Like baseball, football, basketball. I collected all those for years. I was really into that. My dad was really into it, so I got really into it.
Yeah, I think my brother had baseball or football cards for a while, but he wasn't really huge into that. They do, they play Magic, my brothers do.
Yeah.
So they all have extensive Magic card collections.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to my dad about that because my dad, it's one of his passions. He genuinely loves collecting cards. It's mm-hmm. something that is a fun hobby for him. It's nostalgic for him. It's so mm-hmm. many of those things. He doesn't have a lot of stuff like that. It's actually one of his creative outlets too,
mm-hmm.
because he loves like putting these books together, and he'll put together, you know, who he thinks the greatest players of 1963 were in a book or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and just see him all the time messing with it. It's a good outlet for him.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him how he felt about when those Pokemon cards got really big mm-hmm. way back in the day, which feels like 100 years ago now, but he loved it because he's like, well, he thought that it would get kids interested in cards in general.
Right.
And especially if they outgrew those, maybe they'd want to, you know, continue
go on to something else.
Yeah. Collecting sports cards or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think either one of us, though, because I feel like he called that pretty accurately.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also right about when the pandemic happened, there was a handful of things that made us feel better. Nostalgia was one of them.
Yep.
And collecting cards was a huge one for a humongous mm-hmm. amount of people out there, especially people that had money.
Yes.
So, interestingly, the cards now, when you go to buy them, are like $5 more than they used to be because everything shot up in price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because now this is the part my dad does have a problem with. It's like, well, Jimmy, how's a kid that's got an allowance supposed to afford those anymore? Because like, they're supposed to be for kids.
Right.
And it's kind of like adults have kind of like, you know, napped them.
Yeah,
and just
like Halloween.
Yeah.
Taking over all the fun stuff.
Yeah. I see a trend happening there, and I'm not too cool with it. Like,
no.
I mean, you know, kids deserve what kids have. I mean, we're adults. We can have what we want. We don't have to take things of theirs. I feel like we're acting like children. I feel like let's just make our own day or just, you know, make cards that are fun for us or more expensive so you feel better about buying them. I don't know. I mean,
but why do they have to take over Pokemon?
Yeah. Yeah. National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day.
Okay.
Certainly not a bad idea to go through your phone or your laptop or anything like that. And you got unused apps or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of that stuff.
Stuff that you've just piled onto your desktop that's taking up space.
Speaking of my father, I'm so proud of him because he has really embraced having a tablet and technology. And he's gotten really,
nice.
Really good at it. Except one darn thing.
Oh?
He just leaves all of his windows open on his laptop. He never closes anything. He's got things open there from, I think he opened the laptop the first time. Like the instruction manual, I think, is even still out there.
Easy access.
Just drives me nuts. But Dad, you're sucking all the power out of it. You're wondering why it's running slow. Close those windows. Same thing with apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, apps you don't use very often, get rid of them, and your phone will... do restart your phone, though, after you do all that stuff.
Oh,
your phone's not going to recognize much until you turn it off and restart it again.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Spreadsheet day.
All right. For those of us who like order.
Yes, yes. I was just thinking in my head, James, don't say that you like spreadsheets. Don't say that you like spreadsheets. Don't say. I do, though. I do. I think
exactly
because of what Melissa said.
Yeah, it's a good way to put a lot of information into an easy, readable form.
Yeah, Yeah, it's also one of the most boring things I think about me I've ever said, but it is definitely true. Just order is interesting to me, and we don't have very much of it in life. So where we can, like with a spreadsheet or something like that, I embrace it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You can take your list making to a whole new level.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Wear something gaudy day.
Ooh.
Oh, I wish I'd have known this one before. This is like half my wardrobe. This is like... Ever wish there was more than one day a year where you could take all the conventions of proper class dress and throw them out the window? Wish no more. Wear something gaudy allows you to let all your best examples of extraordinary bad taste hang out for the world to see.
Nice. Mm. Extraordinary bad taste.
In the 1970s, the hit comedy Three's Company, we were introduced to a character named Larry Dallas. It was from this character that we were first told that Wear Something Gaudy Day was something to be celebrated, and were given a fantastic example of how. Ever since then, people have been celebrating Wear Something Gaudy Day with a complete lack of style and fashion. I have one thing to say to everybody. Catch up. Because I've been doing this for a long time now. Mm-hmm. It turns out I'm a trendsetter.
Look at you go.
By dressing gaudy and horribly, I don't feel like I'm as bad as like this could be, but I don't know. I'm not too far from it either.
Well, I think style in general has changed so much, especially in the last couple of years, you know, with people staying home a lot more. And I don't know. I think style is wear what's comfortable.
Style.
If it happens to be gaudy, awesome.
I think style is just similar to art. It is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel good in how you're dressed, don't let anybody tell you differently.
Yeah.
We don't. What is one of the best things about being a little kid? What do you want to wear today? And you get to put on this crazy, weird costume and outfit and everything and all that. I'm not saying we can get away with that completely as adults, but...
So you don't like my monster costume?
I actually love the monster costume. Okay. But see, I feel like it works with you. You really pull that off well.
Thanks. My secret monster.
We do have to be, you know, walk this line within reason, but we don't have to completely lose sight of what it is to be a kid and have our individuality. And part of how we express ourselves is our clothing, is the way we dress.
Very true.
It's Forgive an X Day. Okay. No, I'm joking. Forgive an X Day. Honestly... I think this is actually a good one. It's a good reminder to let things go. Now, does not mean that you have forgiven anything. You can move on and not forget. You can forgive and not forget. You know,
there's lessons to be learned. Obviously, they're an X for a reason.
Yeah.
But it is a good day to speak to. It doesn't do you any good to hold a grudge.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't hurt them either. So you may as well let it go.
If anybody gets hurt in holding a grudge, it's yourself.
Yeah.
And that's it. And to me, literally the greatest revenge has always been moving on with your life and having a good life. There's no better revenge than that. Right. You're never going to be able to top that for revenge. It's the best thing you can do. And I think it's a positive, a healthy thing whenever you are able to still be friends with an ex. I can count on one hand how many I have, so don't take this as like something that I'm preaching or anything like that. But it is really healthy. And I will definitely say that a big shout out to my ex-wife, Mandy, because her and I had years where we did not see eye to eye. We did not get along very well. And we have in the last 4 or 5 years. We've gotten back to being friends and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing romantic about it. It's just two people who happen to have quite a history together, considering we have two kids
and
in their 20s.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's big.
We did this because of the kids, certainly, but because we also wanted that closure. We wanted that release for each other. I wanted it for her. Mm-hmm. It actually has worked out really good for the kids as well, even though they're in their 20s and all that stuff. It's really been a beneficial thing for all parties considered. Mm-hmm. When you can pull that off, I'm not saying it's easy,
no.
But if you can pull
all
that off.
All relationships take work, especially the ones that have been broken.
Well said. Very well said. It's so cool to see for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's so helpful for them when you can at least tolerate each other. I'm not saying you got to go have a beer together or anything,
but
you can, you know, tolerate each other.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way. And it's another life lesson for the children.
It is.
To see.
To learn that we can be civil, even though we have our differences. That's a pretty big deal.
You're going to have relationships that end badly, and you're going to have ones that can end mutually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. International Day for the Education of Poverty.
Eradication
of poverty. Good thing we don't do this live, Melissa.
Good thing.
Poverty has many faces, whether it be starving children in Africa or India, or whether it be a struggling single mother crying in the supermarket as her children look on confused. The examples of poverty range from extreme to almost impeccable. And the UN has declared fighting poverty to be one of the cores of the Millennial Development Goals. I think one of the first things I think of with this is certainly, if you can donate, if you can invest in your community, mm-hmm. it's greatly appreciated. We're very fortunate in this area. People are pretty darn good about this kind of thing. We have the SWEPS organization that is under focus, SWEPS, Neighborhood Table, the Backpack mm-hmm. Program, these things. The United Way does a lot of events with this, with United We Can and other things. There's usually a handful of events throughout the year, especially this time of year, where you can give in non-perishable food item to this event and get in for free or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
The other factor of this, too, is that as the years have gone on, the face of the homeless person has changed, or the face of the hungry person has changed so very much.
Yes.
Where it was there was a certain face that fit when you were a kid,
mm-hmm.
and then there's 2022, where it's everybody. I mean, there's so many more people.
Every layer of civilization, it really does.
There is so many of our people that are hard workers out there, and whether they work in government work or city work, or they just work at a factory or, mm-hmm. or somewhere around here, are having a hard time making ends meet. The one that gets me just as much as that, really, but I'll be honest, even more, is so many of our soldiers and their mm-hmm. families are struggling to put food on the table. And I can't think of them. I don't know how, as a country, we can look other countries in the eye when we treat our soldiers that way.
Yeah,
like it's there's a whole lot of things that bug me, but that is one of those ones where it's like I don't even know how we can look soldiers in the eye, let alone each other, let alone other countries or mm-hmm. any of this. Like, that's a black eye on us. That's mm-hmm. on all of us. If you push on that one, if you're, no, that ain't me. No, I do this, I do that. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. It's all of us that are. Are you enjoying freedom right now? Are you enjoying freedom right this very second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a soldier to thank for that. The least we can do to enjoy, I don't know, freedom is make sure our soldiers are taken care of. Make sure that their families at home have food on the table. Of all the things that they're out there trying, literally the doing the things that the majority of us ain't willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things that so many can't, so many wish that they had an opportunity and they can't, or these different things. And what do we do? You're while you're off there fighting in another country and all that, in another time zone and all that stuff. What are they doing? They're worrying about their family. In a mm-hmm. perfect scenario, you're still worrying about your family, let alone if you know that they don't have enough food on the table or any of these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that should really take the stigma of hunger out and the stigma of poverty out of the picture, because it's affecting so many people now in America in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It boggles my mind. It really, really does.
It's such a self-inflicted wound, too. It's something that we can do something about. We prove that all the time. I see the beginning of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the only community, although we're one of the best. I love our community, but we're not the only community that does these kind of things. It contributes to mm-hmm. Hunger in that.
Now, is there a certain amount of the population that just wants a free ride? Well, sure. But that is not what poverty is.
It is National Mulligan Day. give yourself a second chance on National Mulligan Day, whether it is a former relationship with a friend or loved one, an old hobby that you abandoned, or a past mistake that needs ratifying. You can give you another go at it on National Mulligan Day.
Yep.
Kind of wish I had another mulligan on this segment. I feel like I've been skipping, jumping on my words over 5 seconds.
I think everybody gets at least one mulligan per day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you should be grant. Yes. You should definitely get one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody deserves that.
Yes.
And it's National Pasta Day. It's a good one. Pasta acts as a sort of a blank canvas for the almost infinite variety of sauces that can be made to pair with them. Historians don't completely agree on the origins of pasta. Many people believe that pasta originated in Italy, while others say that it came all the way from China when Marco Polo was on his adventures in the 13th century. Either way, it's just great.
Pasta's amazing.
Great. I love pasta.
Who doesn't just love some buttered noodles now and then?
Yes.
You don't even need to put anything on them, basically. I mean, butter, yes, but...
That's just how good they are. Yeah. You don't even have to put anything on them. They're amazing.
And carbs are important. It's what your brain needs to function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm learning that one the hard way, I'll tell you that much. We'll take a break right here. Melissa and I will be back with more after her news on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. James and Melissa here with you. 7:42 on the clock. That was a good one. I like that one. I'm loving these Halloween bumpers. Can we do these even like for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
No. I veto that.
Yeah, it's probably a good call. Have you ever broken the law by throwing something away? Here are five common things people throw out, even though you shouldn't. And I looked ahead on the list, everybody, and this does not include that tag that you're never supposed to cut. It says you're never supposed
mattress.
To cut. I wonder if they even have that anymore. I wonder if that joke even lands on like half the audience. I don't even But that used to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Returning a VHS tape without rewinding it used to be a huge deal, too.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You feel like a real rebel if you return that video without rewinding it and stuff.
Really, you're just a heel.
Yeah. So here are some things, and this is an interesting one, especially considering, this is a recycling and everything. It's important around here. Choose to Reuse event, when we have that, it's a very, very popular event for definite reasons that, just how important that stuff is. And we've got a lot of great lakes around here. We've got a lot of great waters around here. People have been throwing stuff in those for way too long, and you wonder why almost every single guest we have on Morning Magazine, and we're talking about water quality in this state, and everybody wants to point the finger. Nobody wants to take any blame for this one, and here we are. So now we've got to all take responsibility for it and do some good, and this is a good list of things to keep in mind when it comes to not doing that kind of stuff.
Correct.
Now, before we even get into the list, I will tell you, there is literally nothing that you throw away, like on the side of the road or in a lake or anything like that, that should not be going to a landfill or a dumpster or something like that.
Dealt with properly.
Yeah. Not saying that's much better. It has its own set of conversations to have as far as landfills go and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's a heck of a lot better than throwing it into our rivers.
Yes.
So stop doing that.
Just stop.
Haven't you guys seen The Simpsons? It tells you in The Simpsons there's Blinky, the three-eyed fish. That's why you don't put weird stuff in there. You get three-eyed fish.
Three-eyed fish.
Looking at an actual accurate list here. Batteries. Most states still let you toss standard alkaline batteries, double A's, like that away. California is an exception. Other types can have things like mercury in them, so they're illegal to throw out. Drop them at a place like Staples instead, or one of those office supply stores usually can do that.
There are places that collect batteries.
Old phones, computers, and other e-waste. More states are making it illegal to throw out your old tech, especially if they have batteries that can be removed. Again, places like Staples and those are good at that. As far as your old cell phones, I'm 90% sure they're still doing this. When you if you give a phone to the family center, they're able to recycle that and get some odd amount of money out of it. Not a lot, but something. So I know that's an option.
Yep.
But otherwise, this is one of the more trickier ones. Because there is a lot of people that have a lot of cell phones just sitting in their top drawer. I have no idea what to do with them.
I've got a bunch of them just in, storage in my house. Because I don't want to throw them away. But I also, what do I do with them?
Got to get on this as a society. We have to really tackle this one and start just like we did with recycling and other things and kind of give people some order. Because otherwise, it's hard to get angry at people for chaos when you don't give them any order to go by.
Yep.
It's Wild West with the particular topic. You can't get too bent out of shape. We're like, well, you should have done the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? I don't know. You didn't tell me.
When it's something that you have to, number one, hunt out, search down, find the right schedule, find the right day, make sure it aligns with your work day so mm-hmm. that you can go take it to this place. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cost involved too. So, yeah. I mean, some of these things are difficult.
And they're not doing any favors for all the people that are fighting to try to keep this planet alive.
Right.
They're not helping anything. Old medications.
Yeah.
And we, of course, just had the drug take back mm-hmm. day over the weekend. Heard it was very successful. And good on everybody working on that one.
Mm-hmm. Keeps it out of our waterways and off the streets.
Out of our kids' hands.
Yes.
There's nothing drug-wise that really scared me, because this is one of the things that happens when you grow up with an addict, like my father, and who is recovered and better now, but and where you grew up, where I did, where drugs were a way of life. Not to say that you did them or sold them, but you knew they were
around them.
I mean, I knew drugs before I knew, basically around the same time I knew my ABCs. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, and I'm not the only kid that grew up that way.
That's a reality of life in some places in this country.
One of the things that I've never necessarily been scared of a drug, but this fentanyl thing, this is messed up. This is a whole other level of stuff. Mm-hmm. To where I don't, my own mother hands me something and I'm questioning. I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, it's gotten that bad. It's where you have to wonder or worry about these things or whatever. And it's not everybody thinks of illegal drugs as soon as they think of this thing, and that's, you know, you're absolutely right, there is some of that and everything, and that's why you should stay away from illegal drugs. Mm-hmm. but more importantly, like it, and then just more importantly, but just as importantly, it's getting in everything. It's not as if it like over-the-counter medications are not getting like attacked by this stuff and everything, mm-hmm. or these people that are putting it in stuff or what have you. So you gotta be really careful about what you're taking. You gotta be very careful about where you're getting those medications from. Yeah. And when you're done with them, disposing of them in the proper way.
Properly, yep.
This is what it is to be an adult. Like, why we have to over-explain an adult what it is to be an adult to adults? I feel like we're getting worse about this too. Notice right with the rise of acting like a baby in politics. Where just a whiner. Oh, I don't know. I don't like what you said. Oh, you caught me in a lie. Fake news. Or I'm going to just whine about this. I'm not even going to respond to questions anymore. And my commercials aren't even going to do that. I'm just going to baby. I'm just going to be a baby. I'm just going to whine. Like, we've gone the complete wrong direction on so many of these things. Yeah, it's hard to get to push people to do the right thing when they're seeing so many people doing the absolutely wrong thing.
The absolute opposite, yeah.
Old paint. If you can have stuff in that's flammable or poisonous, it can have stuff in it that's flammable or poisonous. So a lot of paint stores and hardware stores will recycle it for you now. Old motor oil is another liquid you shouldn't be tossing or dumping down the drain or on our earth.
There's a lot of places that will take waste oil and then they sell it for whatever purposes. So, you know, take it to your local mechanic store.
Yeah.
And talk to them. See if they'll take it.
You like mudding. You like going hunting. You like doing all these things with Mother Earth. Do one thing for her and don't do any of these things.
Yeah.
You know, to the person, to anybody out there that is fighting on something like this. Because I'm tired of this being like a hippie topic or being a tree hugger, quote unquote, tree hugger topic or something, recycling or taking care of the earth. Like, that's ridiculous. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. Like, if you don't care, if you love the earth, it doesn't make you anything other than you like having a home. Mm-hmm. You like having somewhere for the human race to live.
Yeah. Like to be able to breathe air and drink water. I mean, these are pretty basic.
Real rebellious. real outstanding there. Jeez. I mean, of all the non-controversial things you would think there could be in society, you'd think
air,
that'd be
water.
One of them. Yeah. Old tires are the final one on this list. Tire shops will usually take them off your hands when you get new ones. There might just be a small recycling fee, but worth it, and certainly gets it out of your garage or wherever you're tucking away these things or anything like that. That seems like worth the price to me.
For sure.
We'll take a break. Ha! Auto value is next. That's great. Love when that happens. We'll take a break. What was it the other day? I was like rambling about attack ads and how horrible they are. Nobody listens to them. And I look next thing up was an attack ad.
Example in point.
We'll take a break. Come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:53 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. We're already almost through the first hour.
Wow.
Man, that went quick. Hope you're having a good Monday out there, everybody. Be sure to join us. Stick around. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Have some other fun topics in there. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have some good stories that ain't, that ain't right stories. And we will, of course, have the kitchens open.
All right.
Looking forward to that, the segment for the show that Melissa's been working on, a cooking food show. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we're going to see this topic coming up in your show anytime soon, Melissa. Maybe in December, probably not too soon.
Yeah.
Fruitcake is the holiday treat everyone makes fun of. And, you know, it's one of the quickest things you're going to hear is when you see Halloween stuff out in August or when you see, you know, Christmas stuff out before
Have
even
you
Thanksgiving.
Have you bought your fruit cake yet?
Yeah. People don't want to talk about holiday stuff too soon. Some people want to get on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's fruitcake, where nobody ever wants to talk about fruitcake. Nobody ever wants a fruitcake. I have known a couple
Except it's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's a lot of fruitcakes running around. Ba-dum-bum. Fruitcake is the holiday treat everyone makes fun of because it should have died a long time ago. Fruitcake flavored Mountain Dew has been spotted on shelves for the holidays.
What? Fruitcake flavored Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
No way.
There were rumors about it this summer, and a few YouTubers got their hands on it early, but now it is official.
Oh. That's crazy.
It's called Mountain Dew Fruitquake. And it should roll out nationwide next month. According to the label, it's got a nice blast of artificial fruitcake flavor.
Okay. Mm.
It's the fourth holiday flavor that they have done in the past past few years. The first in 2017 was called Holiday Brew. It was regular Mountain Dew mixed with Mountain Dew Code Red, because green plus red equals Christmas. After that, they did a cranberry pomegranate. Soda called Merry Mashup, and last year's was called Gingerbread Snapped.
Ew.
The reviews of the fruit quake flavor are mixed so far. Some people love it, but one Mountain Dew super fan said it's even grosser than gingerbread flavor. They said it tastes like the inside of an arts and crafts store.
Oh, wow. Wow. How many arts and crafts stores has they tried?
Yeah.
That
is
my question.
I don't think of that when I think of fruitcake. I don't think of like stale bread almost or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Because I had to look it up. So just real quick, the history of fruitcake.
Yeah.
It's basically the Roman form of an energy bar.
Okay.
Because it's nuts and fruit in a baked cake form, but the reason that they did it is the excessively long shelf life, because they could take it with them. But, you know, and this is me imagining, but they were a richer society in that day and age, so they could afford to put things like those more expensive or harder to get product into their staple, their trail food, what have you. That we have hardtack here in America past. We don't have something fancy like fruitcake.
No, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you looked that up. That's interesting. Now, have you had fruitcake?
You know, I probably have seen it. I probably shied away from it because cookies were more enticing.
Mel, I think for people of our age and going down, through the rest, like from 0 to 40s, I don't think any of us have ever actually tasted fruitcake.
Really?
I think that at some point before we were even born, that there was one fruitcake. It came down to one fruitcake, and now that one fruitcake just keeps getting handed to another person, to another person. Nobody knows. In all seriousness, I do remember a Christmas party with like our families. Like it was one of those ones where like a bunch of your cousins come over and stuff to grandma's house and all that, and nobody knew where this fruitcake had come from. And my Nana was bound and determined to figure it out. And the whole Christmas party turned into basically a Matlock episode or a Murder, She Wrote episode or something. With my Nana like going around and like trying to get it out of the, did you make the cake? Did you make the cake?
Oh, wow.
Like trying to find out who made this cake. And nobody could touch it. Nobody could even. I remember my Aunt Marion wanted a piece. And Nana like smacking her hand like, no, not until we know who brought this cake.
Wow.
She was worried. She didn't know where this cake had come from. And it's very weird for any household, especially my family and especially an Italian family, to not take credit for something you made. Like, you definitely, I mean, why would you not do that? You made it. You're going to take credit for it. Mm-hmm. It's what you do. So that nobody was claiming it. That kind of. I genuinely believe that there's just one fruitcake in the world that we just keep handing off to person to person.
It's hilarious that you brought in the Italian connection because it just ran across. I'm reading an article in Smithsonian Magazine about fruitcake, and it says, but variations on the fruitcake started springing up. Italy's dense, sweet, and spicy panforte, literally meaning strong bread, dates back to the 13th century.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hmm. So this has been throughout culture for a long time.
Yeah.
And Matlock episode. That's great.
It just I really like the idea of they're just like just I would love one. If this was true. Like there's somebody sitting there listening to us right now, and they are like, wait a minute, I have a fruitcake from last Christmas, and
where did it go?
It's gone. It's gone. They just didn't know where
it
went.
Cupboard.
I know I didn't eat it. What could have happened to that fruitcake? I also love that fruitcake got turned into like I don't know how many people know that it's an actual thing. Because it's such a insult term now.
Well, that's the funny thing.
Fruitcake over there.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't even know how many people think of it as an actual thing anymore, or just like a person who is weird or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always thought that fruitcake had just like a lot of gummies and stuff in it. But if you look at a slice of fruitcake compared to a Christmas cookie with frosting and sprinkles, what are you going to pick?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think I've ever had fruitcake.
No.
I don't think I have. So I never say if it's good or bad.
I think I'd try it. Probably not at Christmas. I would take it on a hiking trip with me.
I would have tried it, but if there's only one that's been in existence for 30, 40 years, I don't know if I want to try it anymore.
Maybe not.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun after some CBS News on Mornings on WFHR.